Well, good afternoon, folks. We are live from the new remodeled WSIC studio. It's new to me. It's the first time I've been here. So welcome everyone out there listening. Welcome those on Facebook Live. If you need our phone number, there was a phone here. What happened to the phone? I don't get the phone. You got the phone. Anyway, there's a phone here. Joe's got it. And the phone number is now nationwide, toll-free, 844-STUDIO-4. That is 844-788-3464. Again, thank you for having us here at WSIC. The introduction said Sheriff Darren Campbell. Unfortunately, he is not here with us today. He is in the Western District doing that important sheriff's business. So as president of North Carolina Sheriff's Association, they have to separate the districts because obviously there's 100 sheriffs and all the boards that have to continue to meet. And so he's over in Waynesville, very important business that we have there. So you guys are stuck with me at the head of the table today. So thank you guys for being here. Gentlemen from the North Carolina Farm Bureau. So that means we're here for a particular award. This is the monthly award that we get out there, and you know there's plenty of opportunities to award these guys. We want to appreciate you guys doing that. There's not enough awards that go around. There's plenty of times that we get the pat on the back, and we appreciate. I was out with some officers the other day, got my meal taken care of. That was incredible. I mean, just to see those guys, and I had a chance to do it for some of the uniform guys. So you know, we appreciate all the support community, especially our business leaders, and thank you guys for being here. I'll just say hello, Robert Ball. So you know why you're here now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deputy Robert Ball is with us today. The gentleman that's the esteemed, important, the man here, Doug Holland. All right. Doug Holland from and I believe you're the president of the Farm Bureau Board, correct?
Not currently. Okay. I am just a board member now.
Just a board member. But there's a past president in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So once you've been that, you know, it's like sheriff. I mean, you're always going to be. So I could still refer to you as Mr. President.
I guess.
Okay. All right. And I don't know what to refer to you as. I mean,
I've been called a lot of things.
Not on the air anyway. So Jeff Collins, we've known each other. I know this was when this first started. You worked with the sheriff and Doug to get this get this going. So,
absolutely.
And it seems like a year, two, three, we've been doing this. So
absolutely, been going on 2 years now, I believe, a little over. So
okay.
It's been a great thing.
All right. Well, we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for doing that. So yeah, guys, we'll go ahead and get started. Robert worked last night, and he was supposed to be here like 2 weeks ago, and we were trying some scheduling difficulties, and I feel really bad because I found out he was here last week. Yep. And the show was canceled. There was a rerun done, and I take that on me. I didn't get a chance to apologize. So in front of everybody, I'm sorry. Your lieutenant was here as well,
yep.
And he's the reason why you're here. It's not me. Don't blame me. All right. The reason you're here is your supervisor nominated you for the Deputy of the Month Award, and your supervisor, Lieutenant Chase Little. We do these every month. We send it out to the I've got a thick file. If something doesn't happen right away, I can go back in the file. But this was something that was fresh on Chase's mind. He had sent me an email, talked about some of the things that you had done for the shift. And again, you were working last night, so you are a night shift guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, permanent nights. So, what is your role on night shift, Robert?
So, my role, I'm currently a training officer.
Yep.
We rotate every month what zone we work in.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 month I could be Southwest, the next month I could be Westside. Mm-hmm. And the other role I've taken on, which was with the help of Chase and Patrick
mm-hmm.
Irwin, was the drone pilot. So I am now the on-call drone for our shift. And anytime we have a missing persons, a B&E suspect running, you know,
right.
We get called out and put the drone up, and we do our best to find that person.
Perfect, perfect introduction. Exactly what I wanted you to do, because you know that's what brings you here. Obviously, you're well-rounded. You've done a lot of good things, being an FTO, working with some of those younger officers, kind of coming along the way. But that opportunity to put a drone on each shift was very important. I know Chase, Lieutenant Little talked about it. You know, they're at the agency. They're there. Several trained pilots are. I guess you'd call him the captain of the program, right, Sergeant Patrick Irwin?
Yeah,
captain.
Pretty much.
Exactly, the admiral. No, that's a ship. That's on the Lake Norman Navy. Anyway, the captain of the Air Force, Patrick, had secured a few more of these things through the drug dealer's money. Now you take it with you? You have it with you?
So did y'all already go over that one of them got shot down on the radio show?
I believe that had been mentioned, yes.
So, yeah, as of right now, it stays at the office
okay.
Until
right.
they get the other one back.
Right,
and
right.
Then I can start keeping it in the car with me on right. shift.
Because before it would be at the office, then someone would have to go there. If it, I mean, sorry, not be at the office, but someone would have to be called in.
Yeah.
And so now you are on shift. You're yeah. working at night, so you're there.
So before, you know, we call somebody in, and then they'd have to get dressed, come all the way to the office, get the mm-hmm. drone packed up, and then head anywhere in the county, wherever right. it may be. And that could take anywhere from 30 minutes to mm-hmm. an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you've got several instructor, certifications under your belt. You're part of our mobile field force team. You're a non-lethal munitions and OC instructor, field training officer, and then this drone pilot. These are all recent. This is just within the last year or yep. so. Okay. And drone pilot since December of 23. So let me read Chase Little's synopsis here. Deputy Ball is an excellent deputy, valued member of the Sheriff's Office. Through his young career, he served the community fairly and professionally, committed to making our county a safe place, goes above and beyond, making sure his daily tasks are completed. If anything's ever asked of him, he never hesitates to do the job correctly and efficiently, always looking for ways to improve himself as a deputy, and of course, prove the agency, better assistance to the officers as a leader, mentor to the newer deputies. So in December, you were sent, Sheriff Campbell sent you guys to drone pilot school. You were certified and assigned to C Squad, and since that 2020, excuse me, since December, you've had 15 times for deployments.
Yep. So wow. I 16, actually.
16 times week. That you put that thing up in the air for some law enforcement reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Since December. And so of these, February 18th, you responded to assist where there was an individual bedded down in a wooded area. I guess that was a jump and run or fleeing to.
He jumped and ran off of a bicycle.
Oh well, hey. Guess some vehicles don't go off road. Yeah. So he was in that wooded area. So you're able to put the drone up there and see that person on March 8th, just recently, assisted with a wanted person, I guess deputies have been to this address twice for disturbance, where they fled on foot twice. Attempted a canine tract with Nathaniel Hodges and canine Levi. And then, of course, you guys with the drone, you're able to see that location of where that person was at.
Yep.
Okay. That's pretty outstanding. All right. Well, I know we're running out of time. I know we're running out of time. I'll let you guys go ahead and present that.
Okay. Matt, we appreciate you letting us come in today and present this award. And it's always our privilege, Robert. On behalf of Idle County Farm Bureau and the citizens of Idle County, we would like to present you with this award recognizing your outstanding service to our county and our citizens, and we certainly appreciate you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Bob.
Thank you.
More of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell is coming up on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, welcome back, folks. We are live here in studio. I believe we were on Facebook Live as well. I didn't get a chance to bring that up earlier. We had the guest here from North Carolina Farm Bureau, and they had awarded Deputy Robert Ball. And during the break, we were able to congratulate him on a job well done, as well as having him stay with us. He didn't realize he was going to get to stay with us. Speaking of a gentleman who did not realize he was going to be here with us is patrol commander, the lieutenant, shift supervisor that is on today. This is Lieutenant Scott Teague, and I didn't get a chance to get much of his bio. I know he's done a lot. I know he's done a lot of things. It's very impressive.
Yes.
He's been with, I believe it was North Wilkesboro Police Department,
yep.
And you held a very high position there. I'll let you talk about that briefly. And then I know you were with the Wilkes Community College. Is that correct? Yes, and they're responsible for their BLET program, and I know Sheriff Campbell's sits on a board and has talked about some of this new revitalization, new changes in some of the BLET curriculum. I would not go into any opinions as such as that, because I know there's a lot of things that's going on with those, but you know, we can talk a little bit about that. But you came to us and you've been able to work as an investigator, and I've worked with you a little bit there, and then you've moved on up through progression and promotion, and now you're in a leadership role, and you also hold a higher degree of education.
That's correct.
And that's something I know that Sheriff values very well too. So welcome, Scott.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what would you be doing if you're not sitting here at the table with us?
Taking calls.
Taking calls. You've got how many ladies and gentlemen out there working right now?
Well, I've got one of my sergeants off.
Okay.
Canine training. Okay. Today. So, but we have one of the sergeants, and then eight.
Okay.
Other okay. deputies working
today. And I know we've talked before on the show about how the county is kind of, you know, it's a long county, but it's wide as well, and it's broken up into our zones, and the officers have responsibilities for those areas, those zones. And I believe, Robert, you were talking before about being an FTO and how the importance of training those people in those different areas. So when you get a new guy, what's the most difficult area to work in the county?
I'm going to say probably southeast.
Okay.
Because you get out there on Cottle Creek Highway and Shears.
Right.
If you take somebody brand new and take them down there and say, get me back to Mooresville, they're going to be like,
Yeah, because very briefly, you could end up in Cabarrus County, Rowan County, even Mecklenburg County. There's it's right from that corner down there. So, and I know that those south end, that those areas, you don't go anywhere real fast.
No.
You're sitting there looking around. So,
yeah, especially if you're on days.
What's your favorite area to work?
Southeast.
Oh, I like that. Okay. All right. And I know you're like me. We're both from Mooresville. We live down that way. So we're kind of used to the traffic and stuff and getting around in that. But well, you're a bit of a country guy, aren't you, little Scott?
Yes, I'm from Wilkes.
You're Wilkes County. So that's all country there.
Correct.
So
country.
You like the north end of the county.
Yes.
But as a supervisor, you're responsible to, I know you're in the office quite a bit, keeping the major and the captain of enforcement updated, and, of course, the sheriff, whenever it needs to go on. So there's a lot of decisions you make and a lot of administrative stuff. So what's a typical day like for a shift supervisor?
We'll start out with a shift meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't have everybody there because sometimes the calls start right away. But we'll have a brief shift meeting, and then the deputies go out to their assigned areas, which is at that time I start to patrol the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
I may show up on a call occasionally. Mm-hmm. I may take a call, especially if it's busy and the other deputies are already occupied with the call. But I'll usually try to go by the office at least once a day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's multiple times I end up having to go by, but at least once. Speak with the captain, speak with the major, speak with the chief, and sort of let them know and see if they have anything specific for the day that we need to handle. It's a lot of driving around because, I try to cover and go to several different calls if possible. Not to micromanage the deputies, but to provide any assistance if needed, and also so that I can see how they operate, especially when it comes to evaluation time.
Okay. Well, I know that Sheriff is very much having us to be working supervisors, and you were just talking about your sergeant being in canine training. The canine can be deployed just like the drone, and no matter what zone you're in or if you're a supervisor, you go where the county needs you, you know, whatever that determination is. You rotate or days?
I'm rotating.
Okay.
We rotate every 4 weeks.
Okay.
We do 4 weeks of day shift, 4 weeks of night shift.
Okay. All right. And you're all nights. All the
straight nights.
Pity you. Man.
I love it. I love every second of it.
Well, and that's good because it's a different attitude, a different clientele, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And even, you know, not just the office people, but I know, Scott, you get a lot of phone calls and stuff, you know, questions asked.
Yes.
You know, I get phone calls at the office, but you might have to actually go to an area to answer someone's question. I don't guess you get many too many of those public service requests in the middle of the night.
Yeah, not towards the middle of the night. It's usually right there at the beginning of the night.
Okay, all right, all right. And so you guys do work 12-hour shifts, which
That's correct.
Make it very long.
We come in a little. We come in 15 minutes early.
Okay.
Just like I said, to have that short meeting. Mm-hmm. So we actually work, a little over 12 each day.
And it works out well because, that 12's going on, then you've got the other guy, and you've covered every day. So you might be working 2 days a week, and then 3 days and 2 days. So it's an on and off type thing. No more than 2 or 3 days in a row.
So 7 out of every 14 days.
Okay. All right. So, and that's what you were saying. You rotate after 28. So
that's correct. 28 day cycle.
All right. And I know you chose nights. There were some guys that chose days. One of the things that the sheriff did just recently, or it's been a little while now, to kind of get, folks with families and other obligations he's always looking for ways to get us what we need, and not always, but this time we can get what we want. So that was really nice, and you kind of shine and able to do those things at night.
And it's also a great recruitment tool.
Oh yes,
because we offer all three options to people. We mm-hmm. have permanent days, permanent mm-hmm. nights, and then the rotating. So it's a great recruitment.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind me talking about the money. I mean, he's done a great job getting the extra shift differential, mm-hmm. which means you guys get paid way differently than the ones that are at daytime.
Yep.
I mean, our patrol pay is great. I mean, I know the starting salary is over $50,000, but if you come in as a regular deputy, no education, just your basic law enforcement training, and have that shift differential working nights, you're $53,000, $54,000 starting out. And I know with your educational incentives, so you're looking at 2.5% per degree. You have, I know this was associate's degree, is that right, and a bachelor's?
Just bachelor's.
Okay, yes. So a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from High Point University in 2014. Now, you've got a couple of degrees.
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay.
I've got a bachelor's from UNC Charlotte mm-hmm. in criminal justice and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a master's from App mm-hmm. in political science and criminal justice. I've got an education specialist from Liberty, as well as a doctorate of education from Liberty.
Very good.
So that is Dr. Lieutenant Scott.
It is, yes. So whenever I and you can thank your patrol captain for sitting in that seat today, because he was dressed in a blue shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Cap Yance, what are you doing today? What? What do you want? You got any plans for 3 o'clock? Yeah, sure. I said, I need you to come do the radio show. Let's talk about some of the patrol things. And he goes, Dr. Teague's on today. So, that's how you got this. So make sure you thank him for that.
No, I'm not surprised.
Well, and I know I told you when we got ready to talk that we would have a lot of stuff in common. I too, got my undergraduate degree from UNC Charlotte, both mm-hmm. A BA in criminal justice and a BS in psychology. Good instructors, good stuff over there. And that was years ago. And I went back and got my master's 2008 in justice administration. So, I introduced my wife to you the other day, and I said, I'd really like to do what he's done. I'd like to have that doctorate, but I don't think she bid on that. I don't think she wanted it. But the value of that, and you would appreciate this as well, Rob, the value of having that education is you get to teach others.
Yeah.
So, I'm in a position where I can teach young officers or students in criminal justice, the bachelor's degree program. You're in a special place where you can do a master's degree, students. You could have taught me. Mm-hmm. And also in having education, you can kind of look into ways in which people learn, the best ways to maximize output, increase, attitude, behavior, all those mm-hmm. things. I mean, that's the neat thing about that education part and being in that leadership role and having that education. But just as an FTO, what does it take to get those guys motivated? Because they're new, right? They're young, some of them.
Truth be told, I mean, usually when they're right out of BLET, it ain't that hard to get them motivated.
Right.
I mean, they're at that point in their lives, they're wanting to get up and go and mm-hmm. stop cars and mm-hmm. find dope. And mm-hmm. I mean, they'll do whatever.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They need that guidance and that direction. But I've heard the sheriff say many times, I'd rather be able to pull someone back than have to push them forward. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of opportunities out there to find people's niches. And when I said when you were a detective, obviously I've I don't have a big patrol background. I mean, I did it just like the military before getting into, you know, doing all this. But, you know, I'm a people person. I do the programs. I go out to the meetings and stuff like that. And, Scott, you and I went to a community watch meeting. And, mm-hmm. and as a detective, you were able to talk about, you know, what you're seeing in the at that time, neighborhoods, B&Es of motor vehicles, unlocked mm-hmm. cars, ways to make their home safer, where I was just talking about, you know, ways to feel better as a neighbor, you know, ways to get to know your neighbor, break down some of those barriers between neighbors and get to know where you're able to feel more comfortable with that. So you know, it's kind of my passion, some of those things. We'll come back in just a few minutes, and Robert, we can talk about some of the things that you're passionate about, one of those things that you like to teach those young guys.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see Scott some stories if you can share some of those.
Sure.
All right, outstanding. Thank you guys. Come right back with us, and I'll check on the Facebook Live, see if you got any questions.
Here. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell will return after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now, back to more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back, folks. Sissy Odalita, good to hear from you again. She said, hi, Matt and guest here on Facebook. I know we've still got the phone lines available. It is 1-844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. With any questions for these fine gentlemen in the studio or anything I can help you with as well. During the break, I was trying to get spread out here, and Joe, I really like this setup. I like this table. I like this feel, the lights. I mean, it's comfortable in here. So
it's pretty cozy, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Are you cozy in the glass booth?
I am.
Outstanding.
No, it's very nice back here.
Okay, well,
I should see everything. It's like a rocket ship.
Maybe afterwards I could come back there, because I know there's all those tempting to play with the buttons there, but thank you for being here and doing what you're doing, and thank you for getting all this set up for us. And like I said, this is my first time here, and look forward to coming back maybe with the sheriff. Again, we said the sheriff is on busy duties with the Sheriff's Association out in the western district of the state. And, you know, there's a large expanse out there, a lot of sheriffs out there. You know, one would think that maybe some of the counties would be smaller, whatever. But I mean, really, you've got your larger counties out east, you know, some of the big ones out there. So you probably got more sheriffs in the western district than you do in the eastern district. So, all right. So we were just talking during the break. We were having a good time talking about some of the press releases here. So I'll bring those up later. But Scott, Wilkesboro.
Yes.
Wilkes County, the college up there. Why is it better here?
Well, I started off at Statesville PD. I started my career there.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize
that's fine.
That. Okay.
And then now I'm at the sheriff's office. The what I have always found is the call volume here mm-hmm. is greater, which allows a 12-hour shift mm-hmm. to go by what seems very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work here in Iredell County, the call volume is, you could almost relate it to dog years. You know, one good year here is worth five or six somewhere else.
Wow.
Just because of the call volume and the different types of calls that you deal with.
I never thought about that. You're exactly right. And I know as a field training officer, I'm new to the FTO program. I've got the, unfortunately, my lieutenant is going to be retiring. We all know Gina Cranford's going to be missed with the resource officers. But I'm looking through some of the FTO program, and you guys have it's a very structured, organized checkbox that you have to to not only say that it's been done, but comment and grade and rate the performance of their of the, and then even in the computer system tie in the reports.
Yep.
So how do you see this being? I mean, it sounds like a definite advantage to training here.
It's a great advantage. I mean, it, a lot of it comes back to, you know, if we ever have to go to court for them to say, you know, they were taught exactly what they did, and I can show you what they were taught, you know, because we have to document everything with that DOR system.
Yeah.
And, you know, we document every call we do, every report we do, every down to the detail to make it easier on us. So if we have to come back 3-5 years later and they're like, was he trained to do this? You could say, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if there's any type of litigations or lawsuits, I mean, it's going to be the officer, the officer's training officer, the officer's supervisor. Ultimately, we are representing the sheriff. So he wants, you know, the highest quality, top tier, you hear him say that, top tier officers. And it's about the training. You get them in, but you've got to determine if they're going to complete that or make that.
And then one of the things that, you asked what a shift supervisor does.
Yes, sir.
Is once the FTO submits those DORs, which is a daily observation report, I go in and check off on it as well. Schedule, if you have multiple FTOs on each squad, schedule the new trainee for which FTO they'll be assigned to on certain days, schedule them for the other divisions, which when they go do their civil time or their CID time, investigations time. So it's not only do you have the FTO involved in it, you know, you have the supervisor as well looking at it, checking off, making sure, watching the progress of not only going on the calls and seeing the new officers, the new deputies, how they're responding and reacting, but that paperwork that the FTOs are producing as well.
Exactly, because that report is in the system. It doesn't get into our system and get to the agency for the squad secretaries to enter the stolen items or the investigators to get the system to go through unless it's put in at the beginning. So, I mean, that's that officer there working on that with you guiding him through it, and then you're approving those narratives and those boxes and make sure everything's checked. So I've heard the sheriff talk about it's being important to be a supervisor and have that detective experience. So, I mean, I that's one of the key points, I think.
It is, and I've been doing this, you know, 27 years. I've worked patrol. I've worked narcotics. I've worked our property crime and investigations. I've worked community policing, crime prevention, administration, you know, several different areas. And I, having done that, you know, I've got a fairly good resource pool to pull from. But I think it is, especially if you're going to be a road supervisor, I think it's very important to do some time in investigations before you come. So.
And I know we're doing a Citizens Academy right now, and we were at the detention center last night and actually got one of the news reports, press releases about a situation that was in there we got to hear about last night. But, you know, they have a shift supervisor as well inside there. They have a lieutenant as well, and they have, you know, sergeants. But really, you're their resource on the outside.
That's correct.
If it's nighttime, you know, during the day, we've got our administrator, you know, got Chief Bill over there, and, of course, the sheriff, you know, we've got folks to help out with it. But at night, you're the guy.
That's correct.
Yeah, so and having that responsibility. I know you go to the jail quite a bit and do some.
We have gotten calls in the past of something serious that occurs, and usually I'll either go by or call their lieutenant. You know, do you need anything? What do you need? And then go over and assist her. You know, whenever the need be, and if she says she has it handled, that's good.
Right.
If not, then I try to provide her with whatever resources to assist whatever's going on in the jail as well.
Because that's precisely a community in and of itself.
They're
so self-contained. I think 30 minutes before we got there last night, the power went out. And so, you know, we had that lightning storm here.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but the generator kicked on, so they never missed a beat. Just going right through everything and everything that was going on. So, but I know that's good that they know you have, you know, that resource on the outside, whatever they need. So the training stuff, you schedule the different ones for the different divisions if they have to go out and do that?
That's how I do it on my squad. Okay. Now, some of the lieutenants may do it differently, but I'll schedule which FTOs and which days the new trainee is with. And now that's in conversation with the FTOs that I have. And
so how long do you spend with them, Robert?
There's three phases. The first phase is, correct me if I'm wrong, 7 days.
Okay.
And then for our shift, they usually spend some time with supervisors. Supervisors get to know them a little bit, see how they're going to do, try to gauge, where they're at. And then from there, they come to either me or Garcia. And, oh gosh.
It's 50.
Is it 50?
50 total, but that includes if they've not been assigned to the jail before jail time, shifts with investigation, shifts with civil, but it's a total of 50.
Yeah. Yep.
So 50 working days with us.
Wow. Okay. And I know that, like you just said, being able to see all those things, that's a benefit to those guys. I mean, we don't want them to see the worst of the worst, but to never be exposed to that.
And it is, and there is some leeway in it.
Right.
Such as if someone's come from the jail to the road.
Right, right.
Obviously, we skip that section. Mm-hmm. If let's say they may have come from another agency, sometimes we'll skip some of the sections. It just sort of depends on the trainees individually.
You've got communications, I think. You've got school resource officer. They'll serve 8 hours as a school resource officer. You've got bailiff. You've got the warrant squad.
CSI.
And that's important too, guys, because they have to worry about those fingerprints and photographies and all those things. We got one more minute before break, and I've got a very special comment that just came on Facebook here from Farrah Collins Ball. Yep. So, Ms. Ball, thank you for listening. And she said, congratulations on your award, Deputy Ball. We are very proud of you in Ohio. Stay safe. Love, Mom and Dad.
Yep. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. So, hi, Mom. So, that's great. So, so they're in Ohio.
Yep.
But they're very proud of you for what you're doing here.
Yep.
So, well, we appreciate you, too. And, I mean, of course, like I said, a lot of times we don't get a chance to say thank you enough for leading us at night and handling things and during the day and keeping things safe and for training the new guys. Guys, we'll come back in just a few seconds. I'll have some of the press releases that we've done from the last week. So please stay tuned.
With us. We'll have more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. It's The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right, welcome back, folks, to The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty. I'm Captain Matt here, your host today. The sheriff is away on some important business out west, western part of the state. In studio, we've got Lieutenant Scott Teague with our patrol division and Deputy Robert Ball, the latest award winner for the North Carolina Farm Bureau Award for his hard work as an FTO, but more precisely, some of the drone discoveries that he's made. So we thank you for that service. In keeping with the title, The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty, let's talk about some of the press releases, the stuff that's come out, the stuff that's been on Facebook and on the news. We'll start with the good. Welcome to Lake Enforcement, Deputy Jacob Carter. So one of our newer officers, been with us maybe a year and a half or so. I know he went to BLET there at Mitchell back in 2019. He was with Statesville for a few years. He was a school resource officer over there, and he was able to come over here and train up, do some work on patrol. Great opportunities with the Iredell County Sheriff's Office to do anything that you set your heart on. Drone pilot, boat captain. So he's now on our lake patrol. If you look in Facebook, he's actually pictured with our newest safe boat, the open cabin boat. And that picture was taken just a few weeks ago when we had the Citizens Academy, when we had the citizens down there and they got to ride on. They didn't ride on that boat though, Scott, because I think the wind was about 40 miles an hour. The temperature was 40 degrees.
I've never got to ride on the boat.
I ain't either. And I've done this for a couple. No.
Yep. Oh. I've ridden on the boat.
that's not right.
That is not right at all. Some of us has got to work, right?
That's correct.
You know, that joy ride, boat ride.
Around.
But all those citizens got a chance to ride on that enclosed cabin boat with the heater. I mean, I guess that's smart. That was probably a smart idea. Yeah. So that was really neat. So that's good. Let's go to great. Great news for Canine Rex. Canine Rex is finally retired. We've got a few more years to go. It'll be great news for us.
That's
so so I hope I get to have the life of luxury like Canine Rex has got. I know Sergeant Cascadden, one of our patrol officers, Rex belonged to him most recently, and Rex sustained an eye injury in the performance of his duties to the citizens of Iredell County, and he could no longer be that police canine or law enforcement canine, so how he's the family canine.
He needs a patch.
He does. So Rex is great, and I guess I can say this. He's not here to, you know, bark at me about it, pun intended. But he is the one-eyed dog. I mean, you know, he's the one-eyed, he's the wonder dog.
Take one of these patches
exactly right. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, and no pirate jokes, nothing like arr. That was a growl. So, but Rex, we appreciate you all the work you've done, and you got to get on Facebook and see some of those great pictures of him. And he's a happy guy, especially happy now that he's hanging out with Cascadden and the family there. So go on Facebook. Let's get those likes up there, man. There are a couple thousand now, I think, and we appreciate the service he's been. So looking at the guilty, several guilties this past week. One of which was up there in Harmony on Gaither Park Drive. Always get the information from citizens, and I know you get phone calls a lot of times. You don't get to see the Facebook or the app tips that we get. We get those, push those out to narcotics units, the ACE team, aggressive criminal enforcement. Those guys do a great job, and this was some information they obtained about an address up in Harmony, and after some surveillance and investigation doing what those guys do, finding some cars coming out of there with some drugs in it, and knowing that they were going there buying drugs, they were able to execute a search warrant where they found crack cocaine, a 9mm handgun, and as well as prescription medication, drug paraphernalia. All three of these suspects had some extensive histories as well. Miss Darlene Cheryl, 61 years old from that address. She's $50,000 secure bond for her history, as well as Lenzel Bodie, 65 years old. Now, he is from West McNeely Avenue in Mooresville, but also lots of past drug charges. And then also another John Fitzgerald Smyer from up there as well, Hamptonville. So he was there. They were all dealing out of there, selling out of there, and we got those guys arrested and put into jail for that. Speaking of the jail, I mentioned to you last night we were there, and I didn't get a chance to find out a lot about this information, and I know the sheriff was talking about it the other day, but just recently the narcotics was able to work with the Postal Service and intercepting some mail that was coming in. Very particular guidelines about how mail is dealt with in the jail. Obviously, personal mail, hey, you know, we got to make sure that you don't have anything in there you're not supposed to have. You know, you're not saying stuff to fellow family members, gang members, whatever, but your legal mail is different. We want to make sure you have that you know, legal right to that. So we're going to make sure there's nothing in that envelope that you can't have, but we're not going to read what's in it. And so these envelopes are opened in the presence of the inmates. And you can see there the photo on Facebook. That was the envelope that was opened, very legal looking, saying to open in that particular situation. You know, do it that way. It was addressed from Cleveland, Ohio, from an attorney firm. So all looking legit, sounding right. But when you start going through the papers in there, you'll see that the backs of some of the papers had some Band-Aids with 32 Suboxone strips. Surely not. Yeah, don't take legal advice from that person.
No.
So they were already in there for some charges, so they're not going anywhere.
No, they'll be there a little longer now.
Yeah, they'll be there a little bit longer now. So, need not send any mail to those guys. you know, that's not going to work. And also anyone else out there that's got an idea of sending that stuff in. I mean, you don't even send you cookies in there. They can get their own cookies from the canteen.
And they're delicious.
Yes, they
fraction of the cost.
Exactly right. It's a bargain, you know. Yeah. Save your postage and handling from out there. You know, don't send the stuff in like that.
And I will say, working in prisons and jails before I was sworn, mm-hmm. I've seen a lot more creative ways of them smuggling stuff in, and that by far is the most baffling.
Creative, I understand. Just downright nasty, we won't get into too much of that, no. Because there's a scanner in our detention center.
Yeah.
I know Captain Adams was explaining what Sheriff Campbell's done to make it such a safe, officer safety-minded place. So yes. Everything is about keeping those guys safe. And, you know, when you bring these guys in, whether it's a sickness, there's negative pressure holding cells where the air pumps in instead of being sucked out to the rest of the facility. You know, something as small as that to just having a place that is clean and smells good and, you know, to go get yourself cleaned up after you've just tussled with someone. All that's there. But there's a scanner that they put those guys in, and I was in it. So,
did they find anything?
They did. Here's what they found, okay? It's been a year or so ago, and I had hip replacement. So you can see those little...
The pins?
Yes, there they are, right there. So that was surprising. But the things that they bring in from weapons to contraband to batteries to things that can, you know, it makes it an unsafe environment. But because of that opportunity in there, you know, being able to see that. So I guess we need to scan the mail. Slide it through there and see what's going on with that. So you worked in the detention center for a while? Was that in Mecklenburg County?
Mecklenburg County. Okay. I was a detention center for 2.5-ish years.
Right, right.
And then I was North Carolina State Prisons before that and West Virginia State Prisons mm-hmm. before that.
So our citizens had some great questions last night about the difference in jails and prisons. Obviously, jails are... you know, it's constitutionally mandated. The sheriff's got to maintain those in the courts. Mm-hmm. These people are awaiting trial, some of them for several years, depending on our judicial system is how fast they move through. You know, the privileges that they have are quite different from a prison where yeah. they are a convicted felon and they are there for X number of years or whatever. So behavior and stuff is another big thing. But safety being a big deal in that and, you know, officers feeling safe there and out on the road as well. So I know FTO is a big officer safety thing with there too. I mean, you've got to, you know.
That was one of the biggest, like, the most stressful things when I first started on it is, like, I have to watch my back.
Right.
And now I have to watch out right. for him as well. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, he's mm-hmm. brand new. Especially if they don't have any experience. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
They may walk right in front of a door yes. and knock on it.
Yes. And they don't know until they've done it. And you yeah. don't want them to get hurt. And you made that comment, like, they're eager. They're ready to go. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have their back, have your back, and make sure that you can teach them after the fact how to do it better the next time.
Yeah.
Without killing her confidence or motivation.
Yeah, and most of the time, the FTAs that I have, when they go on a call, it may have something to it. They always debrief once it's
yes,
over.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You
know, here's the good things that you did. Here's right. something you should not have done.
Right, right.
And there's always a critique that comes right. with it.
And, you know, there's a couple little words that we go over every year when we do the legal update and we're forced to be on trial whenever we need to. Due to my training and experience, your training starts the day you enter basic law enforcement training.
Yep.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about that curriculum much. I'm sure the sheriff will go over that, but it never stops. Mm-hmm. Training right. continues throughout your entire career to the last day on the job. And then, I mean, it doesn't stop after that.
No, like I said, out of my 27 years, I'm setting on just probably a little over 1,800 hours mm-hmm. of in-service training.
Right, right.
Beyond the original rookie
right,
schools.
Right.
And that's also on top of real-world training.
Yeah.
Like just being out and doing it.
Yeah. What you've done, exactly. That's your experience, what you've done.
Because, you know, no two calls are the same. Mm-mm. It could be a two domestics that are very similar, mm-hmm. but you handle them both in a mm-hmm. totally different way.
And that's the one thing I've always loved about patrol is, yeah, it's the same calls over and over, but every call is different.
Yeah.
You may go right. to 10 domestics, and every one of them will have a little right. bit different element to it.
And they talked about in the jail last night, you deal with a lot of the same people. So you guys are dealing with the same people out there as well. So
that's correct.
But you can't. This is not a recipe to set up that they're going to act the same way every time.
That's correct.
No.
So, So how will you act the next time I bring you on the radio? Sheriff has you in here.
The same.
And Robert, keep getting those awards. All right, keep flying high. Best. Is that a good way of saying it, flying high?
Yeah.
Keep that drone up there. That's really cool. So I don't know what your next endeavor may be, FTO drone, but keep up the good work.
Don't get me shot down.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Evasive maneuvers next time, okay?
Just stay moving.
Just stay liquid.
It's harder to do.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
I will say that's one heck of a shot at 400 feet up in the air in a small target.
That's awesome. That's good. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us. Yep.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.